Imagine having all, guess all, of your learning challenges solved. With Docebo's Learning Suite, an AI-powered LMS built for enterprise, you can tackle any challenge. You can easily create and manage content, deliver training, and measure the business impact of your programs. Docebo is built for customers, partners, and employees alike, with dozens of integrations to embed directly in the flow of work. Check out Docebo today at docebo.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to C-Lab. I am Dave Darrington, your host for the day. And here at C-Lab, what do? We explore how to build customer education. Oh, I can't talk today. How to explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, which is a great discussion we're going to have here today, and exterminate those myths and all that bad advice that you might get that stop growth dead in its track. Remember, we're talking about scaling. We're talking about success and experience. And that's why I'd like to welcome Alex Levin to the show today. Alex, say hello to the audience and tell us where you're coming in from.
Hi, thanks for having me. So I'm the co-founder and CEO of Regal.ai. We build AI agents that do the phone calls and emails and SMS for customer support teams. I'd say our point of view is that 10 years from now, 90% of customer support is going to be automated in this way using AI for these calls.
Yeah.
Particularly, we think the majority are going to be calls instead of text. So yeah, it's so cheap and so easy now that brands are going to allow sort of their phone number to be everywhere instead of like hiding it behind a curtain.
Okay, this is cool. This is interesting because I've been in this world in different ways. So let's go ahead and kick this off. I like to do something to warm up, which is called our International Day Of. I don't show it on the screen, but today what I do is kind of read through them and say, what does this resonate? What resonates with us? Today, one of the International Days Of are the, National Science Day. This thing isn't working. Make up your own holiday day. I've never seen that before. That's a fun one. And then the next one, National Science Appreciation Day. And National Purple Day, of all things. I don't know why you have a color for the day. What strikes your fancy there out of that list?
Well, our brand color is purple, so you might have to go with that.
Okay. Good stuff.
With Regal, it's a royal purple, so of course it's, you know.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Okie doke. Let's go through. And again, I'd like to frame this up a little bit. And Alex, what we always do, my co-host Adam and I spend a lot of time thinking about what's out there in the world and what's happening. I'm really interested, and we'll thread this through our discussion. You have some neat background. You were at Angie, which, gosh, I'd use that platform forever. I didn't so much used Handy, but I'm aware of it. And what I'm interested in talking with you and bringing out some thinking about customer experience is this, what I read in the bio, the need for proactive, personalized engagement that is, you know, purpose-built, that is really helping get our customers to what they need right now, right? And using AI to do it, and AI is obviously hot, yet a lot of the times getting the context and how we're leveraging it in ways that are still human and still personal. I hear these threads of trust, loyalty, measurable growth. This kind of stuff is so hot for us as well, because we are, in this podcast, thinking about the educational, the learning piece, and bringing that up to market. And what's really auspicious right now, and I'm going to turn this over to you to start going deeper, is customer experience is now our kind of North Star, where we used to call ourselves in our field customer education, but more and more, I came out of Gainsight. So we were talking about customer success. I've seen the threads and the macro trend talking a lot more about, well, it's not just the learning people here, or the support people here, or the customer success people here, or the product people here. We all have to collaborate and build a unified customer experience approach that can scale. So with that as a setup, where would you like to start today? I'd really like to learn more about you, your product, your platform, and then get into your philosophies and your thought leadership and what we're thinking about from your end of the world.
Sure. I can talk a little bit about my background and, how it sort of leads to the thing we're building now, if you like. So
yeah, that'd be great.
You know, I come from a product and marketing background and was in the home services industry, to your point, at a company called Angi that owns Angie's List, Home Advisor, Handy, all the big home services marketplaces. And, you know, I was always told, you know, don't worry about the contact center. Don't worry about talking to the customer. It's just a cost center. It doesn't matter. But, you know, every time the contact center made a change in handling, it impacted my revenue when I was, you know, running marketing and growth. So I started realizing it did matter a lot. And, you know, as I started getting more involved in that team, you know, there were all kinds of interesting things they wanted to do, but really they were limited by the technology and limited by just the very highly operational nature of having thousands of humans trying to do, you know, hey, you want to roll out a new credit policy? Well, now how are you going to train 3,000 people on that credit policy? And how are you going to make sure it's in the tech? And how are you going to make sure that, anyway, so on and so forth. So that's sort of annoying, you know, for somebody coming from a marketing and product background where, you know, hey, go set an A/B test, go just do it and see what happens.
Yeah.
So we eventually stopped complaining and put our money where our mouth was and left and started Regal with this idea that we really could use better software, more data driven software to drive better outcomes for businesses by driving better customer experiences. For a long time, you know, we still, I don't know if I want to put it this way, but had to deal with the human being the tip of the spear. So for many years at the beginning of the company, we would do all kinds of smart stuff, but it was still a human that was the one ultimately talking with the other human,
right,
or responding to an email. And I'd say for years, I assumed that would always be the case. Maybe there'd be AI supporting them, but it would always be a human in that seat. About 18 months ago is when we started getting our own sort of demos going for AI agents that were good enough where I said, oh my goodness, there are not going to be humans in the seat. It's going to be an AI doing all tier one support, all tier one sales, like all of that sort of basic stuff is going to be done by an, you know, AI voice agent, AI, you know, SMS agent, so on and so forth. It's just so good. And I'd say now you go talk to most enterprise, you know, leaders in consumer companies, and that's pretty well accepted that, you know, not necessarily 100%, but 80, 90% of interactions with customers will move to an AI agent. I think some people have not yet experienced the new tools. So if you haven't, like, you know, call one of our demos, like 212-500-6000 as an example, and call and see what it's like and experience it. And you'll see it's so low latency, so high empathy. You're able to interrupt and have a real conversation with them. You can try to trick them and they like don't get tricked. Like, you know, they're like, you know, talking with great agents. That now this is the future. And I think particularly we think voice is what's exciting because there's just, you know, so many nice parts to voice, right? You can talk faster than you type. Now that there's zero wait time, like you're instantly getting the answer you want. It's something that's more emotive and more expressive than like a text-based channel. So I think, you know, particularly within all this, we're going to see in a good way, I think, for consumers, voice, you know, come back as the main channel that businesses are using to engage with the customer. Wow. And not just for customer support issues, right? This will become the main interface. So in the same way a window, you know, that was like your website was like the main way customers started interacting with your brand in the late 90s. And then it became social and maybe apps. The next one is a voice interface. You're not even going to go to a website or a social or an app. You're just going to start talking and say, hey, I need an Airbnb booking, you know, next Tuesday at 5 o'clock, and Airbnb will interact with you, right? You're not even going to go to an app.
Oh my gosh. I don't want to interrupt you too much, but I'm thinking about all this conversational intelligence and all of these things that have been just popping up suddenly, like spending time with ChatGPT and opening up the chat prompt and in the voice version of it and having a conversation. And you see those things TikTok.
That's what more and more you're seeing now. Like I talk to some of our investors and when they prep for meetings, they don't go and like do research on Google. As they're walking to the meeting, they open up the voice version of ChatGPT and they say, hey, tell me about, you know, Alex Levin and his company Regal. What do I need to know before I go in? You know, what 5 questions should I ask him and who are his 3 biggest competitors? And ChatGPT talks back and explains what the answers are to all those questions.
Yeah, it's such a, it's an accelerant because now I'm getting it. Well, those executives who are prompted and understand how to speak in a certain way and get what they need very quickly, now they're jumping in the meeting, but they've already been prompted and you don't have to spend that time in the meeting to debrief, right? Just another thought. I've got a lot of questions for you because we can get into this whole wrapper of experience. Can you trick your AI? And this is not meant to be goofy, but it is. Will let's say I'm talking, I'm going to go actually try it after this and record my experiences. It does your platform self-identify as being agentic?
Yeah. So lots of interesting stuff in here. One of the original worries when people were playing with LLMs was what they would call hallucinations.
Yeah.
And there's a concept in LLMs that's a little less well-known called the temperature of the agent, which is basically how much you allow it to be creative with the information that it has, you know, how far you're allowed to deviate from the specific prompt you give it. And so, you know, at the beginning, people were taking demos, putting the temperature way up and then saying, oh my God, it said crazy stuff. Okay, sure, you can, you know, you can do that. But it's like going to a contact center agent and saying, I'm not going to tell you anything about our brand and you're allowed to say anything you want, go. Well, guess what? It's going to say crazy stuff. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you can say that on our blog. We're cool. We like that fact.
On the other side, you know, imagine what a well-run contact center does. Well, they hire certain agents with certain skills. They train them for months. They go and QA them and they make sure they're saying things that adhere to certain scripts. They check afterwards, right? So trust but verify. Afterwards, they check. Did you say the things that were approved? If they didn't, they retrain them. Well, guess what? Now we have the systems, and this is part of what Regal does, on top of LLMs to do all those things. So training and testing and guardrails and, you know, monitoring and whatever, so that there aren't hallucinations. So that's not what happens. And instead, like, where if anything, they're more accurate than humans about this sort of information. So can you trick them? It all depends on the setting and the system you use. Like, if I take a ChatGPT agent without any guardrails and I turn the temperature way up, yeah, you can get it to say all kinds of crazy things. But that's not what matters. What matters is the opposite. Can you get an agent to be as good or better than a human? Of course.
That's great. And that there's both fear and excitement in all of this for me when I think about it, like the potential of, oh, I'm going to call it. And I've done this. You know, you know that there's an AI on the other end of the phone now. But there's all these scaffolding applications and adjunct apps. I remember over the last week, I was talking with my friends from Bongo. Bongo Learn is their URL. And they've been building something that's kind of in between in the conversational intelligence that Gong would produce or things that you might have. I work at Outreach as well, who had Kaya and had these models that were programmed. And it would seem to me, as we go further down this conversation, that is really the responsibility and the burden of that tuning calibration time when you would be working with your client who would be setting up the Regal AI interface and how it's all done. So there would be a lot of that work to make sure that before you release that into the world, it goes, it's hitting the mark.
This episode is brought to you by Clouseau. Are you tired of spending countless hours producing software videos and writing help documentation for your customers? What you need is Clouseau. Simply upload a rough screen recording of your product. Clouseau will instantly transform it into a studio quality explainer video and a step-by-step how-to article. Clouseau handles all steps of the video production process, from writing your video script to generating a professional AI voiceover. It adds stunning zoom effects, highlights, and branding to your videos too. You can also translate your content into over 30 languages in just one click. And if your videos ever go out of date, there's no need to remake them from scratch. Clouseau makes it super easy to replace outdated clips and voiceovers. 10x your video production speed today at clouseau.io. That's Clueso.io.
Okay, let's get into some stuff. I know that you wanted to talk about the customer experience. So maybe we level up a little bit. And what I'd like to get from you is, what's in your head? Now, you're a leader, you're working with this platform, you're building your new platform, you're engaging the world. What I'm thinking about customer experience and I'm seeing from my end, again, I'm clicking in that learning part. What is it from your perspective that is so important right now, and how I think this agentic, I call it agentic learning. You know, we're working with an AI, and now my piece of that puzzle would be, well, hey, I want to make sure, Alex, that we know this knows this knowledge and this knowledge and this knowledge and this knowledge. But there's a whole lot more involved in that entire scaffolding of experience. So
yeah,
maybe back.
So there are two different. Yeah, when people talk about agentic, there's usually one of two different things, or maybe both, are talking about. So one is the concept of the difference between like an LLM that is conversational versus one that actually is able to take an action. So as an example, send a text message. update a CRM, check some system for scheduling. Like the LMs can't do that. So they're not actually agentic, but Regal, for instance, can do all those things. We've built all kinds of orchestration that allows the agent to take all kinds of actions. So that's one definition of agentic. I'd say the other one that I sometimes hear people talking about is ignoring the actions for a second. Is the AI agent behaving just based off of a general prompt where we're saying, hey, you're a podcast interview host. You're interested in doing 100 of them this year. Go.
Right.
Like, I don't know, an AI agent with certain capabilities could do something with that. So that is one, versus what some people are doing with AI agents is effectively treating them like glorified voices that just like follow a script where they say, literally read this exact script, like these exact words, do not deviate from it at all. You know, it's like filling out a form, but what we get out of it is maybe he understands the language a little bit better and it sounds a little bit better, but they're not using any of the sort of true generative capabilities. So in my mind, like, all this stuff, it's not like I actually don't agree with agentic versus not. I think the word is a little silly, but I think these things are on an axis, and like, depending on the use case, you need more of those capabilities. So, for instance, for customer service teams, you can't do it just with ChatGPT or OpenAI. Like there's a lot of other tools you have to build on top of it in order to be able to handle some of these things we're talking about. And I think in most practical use cases, that's true. Like you need much more in the LM. So, some people, another way of like having this conversation, if you want, which is sort of interesting these days, is some people say, oh, are all these tools just wrappers on top of OpenAI? And like, in a sense, sure, I guess, but the good ones hopefully do a lot. But in the same sense, OpenAI is just a wrapper on NVIDIA. In the same sense, NVIDIA is just a wrapper on the underlying chip manufacturer, Taiwan Semiconductor.
Yeah.
So basically like all of them are just building on top of something else. They're not doing it entirely on their own. So I don't accuse any of these people of being wrapped. Well, some truly are just a wrapper, but most of them are actually doing something valuable, which is why companies buy our product instead of going directly and buying OpenAI.
That's cool. That's, you said all the things that I was really hoping for you to say about, I like the onioning, because you've got a wrapper around a wrapper around a wrapper. One of the things that has been kind of disappointing at times is that some platform vendors just go, okay, well, I've got to get this in here. How am I going to do it? And they end up doing something trivial. But when I hear you talk, I think about this little thing I have here on my desk. And I'm still trying to figure out how to use the darn thing, and I'm getting closer. And
one of them just went out of business, Humane, whatever the other one that was their competitor. Like, so I don't think this one is far, but I don't think Rabbit or whatever is far. The premise was idiotic. Like you have a device that is with you all the time that listens to everything and sees that. Why would you go and buy a different device? Just build something into the thing you already have.
Build into the thing you have. It's in your phone right now. Although I've seen, there's been some interesting stuff with this. The thing that triggered me to actually hold it up was you're talking about a large action model, right? The LLM is one piece, but the action is, how do I do this? What do I do next? What was my thinking process? How do I engage in this other system like Salesforce or whatever? When I'm thinking about customer experience, and I'm working at Atlassian now, and big organization, so much interesting stuff. We have our own AI that we're working on called Rovo. And the experience that I would have coming in from our support team could be conventional. I've worked in support for decades, right? I know this field. It's often hard, it's often easy. And it's a real frustration for that customer's experience to get to that and not get what they need. And now they've invested an hour talking to somebody that doesn't have context. That to me is, I actually hadn't thought when I got connected with you, I hadn't thought much about this platform fitting in the ecosystem of learning and success, because sometimes I just want to talk to somebody. And that's maybe my Gen X side showing. Because text only gets me so far. Yeah,
again, AI agents are going to do, we have a lot of big customers in healthcare, particularly mental health. For sure, our AI agents are not the ones doing, they're not certified, they're not licensed, they're not doing that part of the conversation. But they're definitely engaging with people and emoting and going, oh, that sounds like it's a really difficult thing. Let me connect you with the right person based on your needs. So for sure, if you want to just talk to somebody, the advantage of AI is there's no waiting. There's no asking for a callback. There's no, hey, I already told somebody this, you know, 8 times. Why are you not listening? And there's like, you know, there's no like, wait, let me check for you what our policy is on that. It just knows. There's a huge advantage.
That's really cool. Well, let's go a little bit further and talk. We talked a little bit about scale experience and what you think about it. We talked about the background. Some of the concepts that we had chatted about going forward or before this episode were building meaningful customer experience in this digital age, talking about empathy, talking about a strategy, which is, I mean, that's 100% of my job right now is think about strategy and how do we take education and learning to another level. And all of this stuff is so utterly complicated, Alex, that no matter where you are, I'd just like to get you riffing on some of the ideas that you had proposed here and help our audience understand, how do I bring all this together from your perspective? What are some of the strategies that you see and add to that?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of concepts that I think are important to mention. So first is in more and more roles, it is a necessary skill to know how to work with AI. Like if you're we have a budget for engineering to use, whether it's Cursor or one of the other tools that are sort of helping them code. And we're basically saying you have to use this because if you're not, you're basically half as productive as somebody who does use it and you're effectively not being as productive for the company as possible. And, you know, we do training sessions and whatever. But, you know, I think the same is true in most jobs. So like, you know, in a learning or support job, if you're not starting to think about how do you scale yourself, you're going to be behind. And, you know, on the other hand, the people who do think about it, like there could be like a 2-person team that, you know, supports like thousands of people, you know, or millions of end customers by themselves because they know how to use the tools well. So if you take nothing away from this, like go and find the tools in your space and start playing with them, because otherwise you're going to be really in a bad position in 2 years when, you know, other people have figured out those tools. So that's one.
Yeah.
I think two is, you know, the way in which those tools ingest information is different than how humans ingest information. So one of the big projects at large companies now is rethinking their entire knowledge base to be API accessible or AI agent accessible. For instance, I was talking with a big Flatpak company who you can probably imagine.
Yep.
And they go, oh, can we just give the AI agents all our diagrams still and they can tell people how to build the furniture? And I'm like, well, not really. Like the AI by itself doesn't read a PDF at all. And even if we could have something that has optical character recognition, like it doesn't understand an image per se. Like right now it's text input. So like if you want to like in text describe like, hey, step one is put this, but it doesn't really work that way. So I think there are limitations, you know, for instance, also with collisions, meaning if you have 2 different documents and one says, yes, a refund is available and the other says, no, a refund's not available. AI is right now very bad at handling that collision. And it goes, well, a refund is maybe available. Well, no, it's you can, don't just average the 2 documents and take an answer. Maybe one of them was deprecated. Maybe one of them was by a more senior person. Maybe there's one is for one situation, one is for another. And how do you figure out in your knowledge base how to create an ontology of data so that you can actually go and have the AI agent whatever AI you're using understand all of your policies and systems and knowledge. So that effort in terms of reorganizing knowledge for the AI world is very important. And then I think particularly, you know, in learning, I think there's a lot of use cases with AI. So things like, you know, in a B2B org, like who are you practicing with? Like, well, don't go practice like against a wall or like even you don't even have to wait for a human, just create an AI agent that you can go practice with. And, you know, on email, on SMS, on phone, whatever it is, like those are great things, you know, and you can then start more quickly training people up and getting them more. So like, I love the product Glean, for instance, where it's giving people access to data internally. So I think there's just a lot of new ways of doing learning and development internally without sort of that are no longer in the old school training model.
I'm going to dig in on this a little bit more because this is really exciting, Alex. Some of the things you said, like your ontology, like, yes, I was thinking through what you were saying in this kind of use case scenario where, all right, I've got a customer that asked that question and then my agent is actually looking in the knowledge base, which I might have on Confluence, right? And it's processing all of this stuff. So wait, What comes to my mind is that that should trigger off a cascade of other activities where for me as an education person, for us as a customer success team, for our customer support team, we're all looking at that as a problem in different contexts. So with a platform like yours, it could, you know, we could have the logic strung up. Oh, I got this collision. This is my collision mitigation methodology. And it might just bring somebody in on a Slack channel or wherever to talk immediately about that. Oh no, this is the right one. Deprovision that. And now we can actually have some systemic approach to, okay, now the AI knows that isn't, that's the old one, because this is a perpetual problem we have with learning and documentation. How do you keep up with the pace? And now that's bringing in another edge to where, gosh, I'm trying to learn all these different technologies like Kluso and Carta. And these are places that we can scale development of that content. But then how do we expose that to all of our customers and our learners internally, partners, and customers in different contexts with different levels of need? That's just, it's such a difficult challenge to get up to.
Yeah. And even, you know, in the tool learning space, they in engineering now call it vibe coding, which is a kind of a silly term in my mind. But that's kind of what I've always done, which is I don't know how to code, but like, you know, I know enough about how code works that I can go to like a site on the internet, copy like somebody's like pre-written code, paste it into an editor, edit the three things I need to edit, and like run it enough times till I fix all the bugs and then it works. And so I'm a terrible coder, but I can do it. And now with these new products that like Cursor, a vibe coder can actually do a lot. If now you have to understand the basic architecture of how these pieces fit together, and you can make a lot of mistakes, but I think, you know, same is true in a lot of these tools. Like, you know, you don't necessarily have to know every tool. You have to know how to use the helper tools and ChatGPT to solve it. So I was asking some question the other day of my CTO about a product that I didn't know. And in the old days, like she would entertain me and give me an answer. Now she just like typed in ChatGPT and sent me that back, passive aggressive a little bit, and was like, here's your answer. But like she, you know, didn't want to answer me anymore.
C-Lab is proudly sponsored by Thought Industries. They've got a super robust tech platform to run your customer ed program, and they've built a think tank and community. Just look, they've released the Customer Education Playbook, a definitive book on customer ed for practitioners. They've released frameworks like maturity models, assessments, and toolkits, and they've got great community events like the Cognition Conference, roundtables, and discussion forums. But of course, there's also the tech forward platform. Thought Industries has developed a headless solution to allow for heavy customization and has a multi-tenant architecture built to scale custom learning portals to your client base to deliver personalized learning for different roles and groups. Check out Thought Industries as you grow and evolve your program, especially if you're doing things like adding paid subscriptions, using free or freemium learning in your marketing strategy, integrating your learning data into your org's overall data strategy, or learning data to prove ROI. Check them out at thoughtindustries.com and tell them C-Lab sent you.
Here's another question that comes up about all that. One of the things that I was thinking about, I love the vibe coding stuff, by the way, that's a really cool idea. One of the things that I'm thinking about here is that, let's get back to the human, the personal, that, okay, now we've got an agent that if I didn't know and I didn't ask and I didn't care, it seems like a human being. I wouldn't have known otherwise. Maybe I would, I don't know. But are we disconnecting, or how do we think about this process of experience to make sure that still feels so personal, and that, okay, now we're going, you know, what's really weird about your platform here and what we're talking about is that it's almost like we're going back and forth on ideas where, for example, let's talk about on-demand learning. We spent so much time shifting away from 5-day on-site training experiences, all this stuff. It was heavily intensive. There's so much people and there was so much waste because we had to travel. We had, you know, people were tired. And then the other side, now we shift it back. Now we have it all on demand and we have to move faster and faster. And it seems a little dehumanized. And now we're talking about, okay, now let's talk. Now we're adding scale capabilities into organizations so that you can call. I have one person, one guy in the back. He's answering the calls usually, but we program this entire team. How does that end up embracing empathy and still keeping the human side as we automate all this?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of different things. So first, a lot of people are asking now, you know, are AI agents as good as humans? They're beyond it. Now they're as good at it. But more importantly, what they should be asking is what AI agents do well that humans don't. And I think soon you're going to get a human. You're going to say, transfer me to an AI, right? That's where it's going. Cause you're going to know that the AI, right, is a more available, more knowledgeable, is going to be easier to work with than the human that is, like, you know, on the phone. So I'm not saying for every case, but in many cases, like, transfer me to AI is going to be the new, like, thing you say on the phone, sort of amusing. And, you know, always it'll get interesting as to, like, you know, to your point on demand versus, like, these in-person trainings, you know, what is the right way to support this customer in this moment? So, like, there may be cases where, let's say, you really mess things up. Well, the reason you put a human on the phone is not because the human is better than the AI or knows the policies better, but it's because, hey, I'm taking responsibility as a human that we set up a system that was wrong. If the customer were to say, what is your policy on this? What is your policy on that? I don't know, the human probably wouldn't know. But it's not about being the most right. It's about taking responsibility. Versus there's other situations where you're like, I read your damn terms of service and it says that I get a refund. Why am I having to tell five different humans? Like, they never should have gone to a human, and AI is much better. So I don't think it's about humanizing everything, so to speak. I think about the right person for the job.
Okay, this is great, because that answer brings into context that I don't want to say we're cyborgs, but we're definitely fine. I'm trying to find a way to boil this down to something succinct, but it's very difficult. What I'm experiencing with AI is that I can go, oh, you know what? I'm just going to record myself brainstorming and put this all in I use Otter for transcription sometime, or Google, and then take that transcript out and throw that into whatever platform I have, right? And say, okay, help me distill this. And now I'm thinking more about, how do I go to that next step? Okay, well, I thought through this. I need to do X, Y, and Z. And now I'm embracing AI a whole lot more, and I'm thinking different. You know what I mean? It's, okay, yes, I want, and I'm actually, while I was thinking about this, I'm also thinking about customer success. And I know we started in support. I've been a support agent. I used to be a customer support scientist, believe it or not, working in it was really complicated. It was like CAD for chemistry, called TriPos. And it was so hard, but those questions were always like tier 3 support. You have to come to a human being. Why? Oh my God. Well, if I used all the terminology, neither you nor I would understand what I'm even talking about anymore. It was so specious, so specific. Yet that tier 1 support, tier 2 support, and the AI can do that quite well. And now I'm liberating my time to say, look, I got 100 calls, and of them, I've got two I actually need to sit down and do some work. Now I get a report back.
Or, you know, when I was if I was managing people in a contact center, that's all I was doing every day. Hiring, firing, giving feedback, keeping them happy, you know, whatever, you know, fixing the things that were broken. But if all of a sudden that's AI and I set it up once and it just does a thing, the advantage is I can then instead focus on A/B testing and improvements and changes to process. And hey, why do I have this, you know, as an email at all? Why don't I just make a feature in the product or change this to voice? Like, it changes the type of conversations, the type of thinking you're doing, to the point now that you know that it's going to happen appropriately with AI agents.
That's incredible. I can see this extending into, well, it's a direct connect in learning, because we can train an agent to say, oh, you know what? We need to take you to our academy or university. Here's the answer. And you want me to read that for you? Oh, please. And it could even summarize that rather than just giving you a link. Like, if I was a support person, I would say, can you go read this? I'm not going to hold your hand. Now we actually get the hand holding a little bit more. Yeah. A question of mine that comes up is, we've talked about support. What about customer success and other adjunct? I mean, support is part of success technically. Do you also see this kind of tooling being helpful for those people? Like, do we have a concept of an EBR or a QBR that could be mostly automated and then have a CSM leverage the platform to conduct some of that stuff? A little bit off topic, but that's where I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities in this area. And, you know, in our case, for instance, we've doubled revenue without having any staff. So it's just a completely different world. Like in the old days, maybe I would have had to have doubled staff to get to the scale, and you don't know.
That's huge. It's also a little scary to say we don't have to, but I don't know if I've worked anywhere, Alex, where I haven't had a gap, like a sufficient gap between the people we need.
Yeah, there's always gap. But I guess just at a high level, the fact that like we could double revenue without, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Another question for you would be along the, now this is more product specific, but now I'm just curious. You piqued my curiosity in a big way. Would Regal be able to localize, meaning now I'm speaking Chinese or French or whatever. So now there's nuances to that because, you know, how we phrase things in German is very different from English. What can you tell me about that? It's just,
yeah. Yeah. The translation and multi-language is pretty well understood. Now, there are challenges to, like, if your team is prompting in English, but the agent is speaking another language, like, right, that, there are some challenges, but broadly it can be done. And certainly if you're prompting in German for a German agent, it's no problem. You know, that's easy. What can I say about it? I'd say the stuff that's more limited now is the agents can't speak multiple languages. You have to choose the language in advance. And then we have examples where they can speak multiple languages, but it's just not as good. Like, really, you choose the language in advance, but that's not so unusual. That's not so dissimilar from sort of how it works now. And then I think, like, yeah, no problem with phrasing. There is a problem with accents. So, like, French-Canadian is very different than French-French. So I'm French-French, and I can barely understand French-Canadians. So, like, legally in Canada, you have to be able to have everything in English and in French.
Right.
And so we support French, but we don't support French-Canadian. So those sorts of nuances will take time to work out where, there's hundreds and hundreds of languages across the country. We support 40 of them now, not every version of every language.
Yeah. Okay. I have one more question for you, and then I'll leave some space for you to talk about how people can connect it to you and your brand. Something that comes out of this, and again, we're a learning podcast, but really we're a customer success and customer experience podcast. My co-host and our friend Dee Capillo from Miro, Adam Evanbescu, is at Personio in Amsterdam. They're talking a lot about, like, this space and how we're getting into it. The thing that I'm interested in as a learning professional in external focus, but also partners in some internal, is how are we bridging how can we leverage this kind of platform for enhancing what we're doing with our learning team? How do we as learning professionals need to be tapped into that? So, because we're always interconnected, but sometimes we get siloed. I'm just looking for your strategic thoughts about that.
Yeah, it's more what I was saying before, which is, you know, if I were in your, I would be using the tools every day. I'd be thinking about how it changes the flow with my user base, like the people inside the company. Mm-hmm. Right, to the Glean example, you don't need to train on everything because they can just go in and type and say, what's the answer to this? And it pops up. Or to Gong, you know, maybe after the fact, you can learn what needs to be said. And then Gong doesn't do this, but there are tools that literally will suggest things in real time. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, you should be saying this. So, like, you didn't need to train them as much. And I do think you'll need fewer staff, which will make the job easier in general. So I think those are, like, some good general points. In terms of, you know, the other one I think I made was, like, rethink your data ontology internally. Like, that's an important one, yeah. You know, because whether you're using an AI product now or later, it's going to happen. Like, you're going to move to an AI product doing a lot of this learning. So make sure you're creating data in a way that can be used by AI. And if you're not yet, like, think about that.
Do you know of any places that are really good to establish best practices for that? Because this comes up all the time when, and I'm at the spread between so many different kinds of organizations, but even at the highest levels, like Atlassian, where we have thousands and thousands of people, it becomes even more complicated for different reasons. You know, now you're scaling internally. No,
there's not, again, there are some frameworks and, you know, whatnot, but I would say at a high level, all the things that would make it good for a human would make it good for an AI in many cases. Meaning if somebody goes to your thing and it's like, there's no categories and it's disorganized and they type in a question, there's five answers and they're all conflicting. Well, forget it. Like, that's not good. But if on the other side, like, you really understand your business and you know what the five things our customers ask, and it's really well organized and there's only one answer and it's clear, like, it's mutually exclusive when you are in different situations, well, it's going to be very easy for a human or for AI to understand that.
Yeah.
For AI, like I said, I would, text is more important than images. So just be careful of that. But, you know, that those are the things I would think about in terms of, like, ontology.
That's good. Yeah, and for text being more important, that always means you do your alt tags and pictures and you put some of that content in behind it until we can actually read all that stuff. That's a really good, that's good. This is great. Alex, this is probably about the time we want to start wrapping up. And again, what I like to do is give you one last shot at talking about your value prop, where to go find you. For specific for education people, we're really interested in one, awareness, because this is a software that I could see myself getting, being advised on and informed about within a larger organization, and actually being super valuable, particularly about how can I be in part of the training and to make sure that our learning material is accessible.
Yeah. So just from Regal's perspective, we work with, you know, enterprises, so 1,000 employees and up, mm-hmm. where they have, you know, multi-hundred person customer service teams that are trying to figure this out, where perhaps AI could do it instead. So if you're in those situations, you know, feel free to email me hello@regal.ai or go to the site regal.ai. You know, in learning and development, I don't think we're necessarily the right tool, but there are a lot of other tools, Glean being a good example of one, yeah. that I think are very important.
Sweet. All right, Alex, this has been great. I picked up a lot, and I think our audience will too, particularly about learning about this new platform. Well, to us, it's new. I know you've been working on it for a while. Looks really cool. I'd like to play around with it as well. And I'll reach out to my teams internal to Atlassian to see if they're checking it out as well. Always neat.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tula. Hold on for just a second and I'll do the outro here. This is where we've already, we'll get your LinkedIn. We'll promote on LinkedIn so people will be able to connect you there. If you want to learn more, audience, remember we have a podcast website at https://customer.education. Really easy to remember. You'll find our show notes, other stuff, other material. I'll make sure to put a link to your organization and to you as well. We're also part of the broader customer education community. So you can get out there and learn from and connect with peers that are just like this. We're reaching across the boundaries to all kinds of different folks to learn perspective and learn how software is changing our world. AI is really doing a lot of it. Thanks again, Alan Cota. The music is great. And if this helps you out, subscribe and make sure you give us a positive review. But our audience, thank you so much for joining us today. Get out there, educate, experiment, and find your people. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.